RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
So, to the new appointees to the board of the Environmental Protection Agency, will we have better environmental protection under these new board members, or maybe not? And also, there has been changes or reforms to the RMA, which we might talk about as well, with Jody Brunning, lead researcher for Physicians and Scientists for Global Responsibility, sociologist. And Jody, you've kind of been in the zone of agriculture too as part of your experience. So do you want to tell us about that, just so we can fill in that blank for us?
Yes, my undergrad was at Monash University in Melbourne in agribusiness. As part of that, I went to agricultural college, a few basic sciences in there. But yeah, my background's agribusiness, and sociology was looking at policy and process and the production of science. So yeah, we're talking about the new board and how they function, how they observe the EPA functioning. So we're not today talking about the science per se. It's a little bit like if you talk about just the kid, you know, doing something naughty or eating something bad without actually talking about the way as a parent you steward, mm-hmm. how the kid makes those decisions, and then what the kid goes on to do, and what are the other people in that environment supporting that kid so that kid can make good decisions. So it's not a talk about the science today.
Okay. It's all in the name, isn't it? Environmental Protection Agency. Are we seeing, what sort of potential for protection are we seeing here?
Well, it's a little bit worrying. And so I like to go back to, the NZEPA, the New Zealand Environmental Protection Authority, is responsible for stewarding resources for future generations and protecting the health and safety of people. So I believe that the capacity for this board to practice oversight that leads to decisions and a strategic orientation that might help the NZEPA achieve those goals is actually quite limited.
Oh, okay. Well, should we go through who's there? Some are staying. There are new additions. How do you want to start by going through the list?
Right. So we've got the acting chair and the deputy chair have been there for some time. So Paul Connell is a chartered accountant. He's the acting chair. Barry O'Neill is the deputy chair. He's got a veterinary background. Mm. His business is Karen Lee Consultancy. He chairs Hort New Zealand, Tomatoes NZ, and the Diversity of Kiwi Fruit Breeding Program. So he's also got a background in biosecurity. So I believe he is someone that actually can really look at the long game that we are playing. And so the context we need to see here is that the long game not only includes the stewardship of our human health, our water and our soils, it also involves the stewardship of how foreign countries that import our fresh food and our cereals and our animal products, how they view us as a good or bad regulator. Are we a weak, low-bar jurisdiction, or are we rigorous? And so the European community, the European Commission tends to make stronger and more robust decisions to protect the environment and protect the health and safety in people rather than the United States. So when I look at Barry, I sort of think, well, he probably could be sitting on a let's look at Europe and be more protective rather than let's just be the lowest bar and cut and paste the United States.
Right.
So I think Barry.
Okay. Now, hear what you're saying. Paul Connell, chartered accountant. What's a chartered accountant doing there, do you think?
So this is the problem. We get these, managerial administrative experts, and they might think that they're being, impartial and unbiased, but if they actually don't have a language to talk about risk and how risk is sort of a creasive, slow thing that can happen, or how risk can be scalar, and we need to anticipate what risk is. So Jonathan Boston at Wellington at Vic University is really good at talking about this stuff. So I don't know how chartered accountants are really good at, and so of course boards of directors are in place to ensure that organisations function effectively. It's day to day, it's strategic long range planning, reflecting the goals and priorities of that organisation. So we're taking back right now to the, what are the goals and priorities of the NZEPA, and you know, how does a chartered accountant sit in that world? I'm not so sure.
Well, he'd do the accounts, wouldn't he?
Well, he'll be there
at the end of the financial year.
Well, see therein lies the interesting rub is that a lot of the pesticides approvals and the money for a lot of this comes from the applicants who apply for assessment or a reassessment. So this is part of the long term. There's a lot of scientific literature on the capture of regulatory organisations through that relationship that they build up over time. And I'm writing an article that hopefully should go in the Daily Telegraph New Zealand this week, trying to help people understand this, because the New Zealand EPA really is a low bar regulatory jurisdiction. So we have this problem there. And so it's really, you know, it's a hard job for the board to sort of see them, to realise our process is such an important job, and their oversight should include how do we actually do the best job? What is the best practice in the world?
Dr. Alison Stewart, what do we know about her?
Yeah, so she's the CEO of the Foundation for Arable Research. She's been there since 2018. She's got a PhD in plant pathology. She's general manager for forests. She was general manager for forest science at Scion, and she's chief scientist at Maron Bio Innovations, a US biopesticide company, science advisor for the New Zealand biologics company Silura, and chair of the governance group of the Forest Growers Research Tissue Culture Partnership. And she's got a background at plant and food. So she's got a big background sort of crossing over with the biotech organisations. So Scion and Plant and Food are actively campaigning to so-called deregulate biotechnology and get that out into the environment. And the other thing that makes me a little bit cautious is, so the Foundation for Arable Research have a big problem on their hands with increasing herbicide resistance from glyphosate and from many other herbicides. And without government investment for, let's just say, sort of good management practices which lower herbicide dependency, what ends up happening is Foundation for Arable Research do a lot of work putting mixtures of herbicides together to make make it toxic and to prevent herbicide resistance. So, you know, the Foundation for Arable Research aren't looking at like this mixture toxicity and all those problems. So they've spent a lot of time avoiding that, because the truth is farmers and growers have to pay their mortgage, so they have to use herbicides. And when the government's not doing a lot of work with what's called ag extension services to change the way we grow and to help farmers get off what's called the pesticide treadmill, because naturally, you know, weeds become more tolerant, insects become more tolerant over time. So how do you keep those insect pest populations low? Sorry to give everyone a big lecture on this.
Handy to know. Yep.
Yeah. So I think she'll struggle to be critical about pesticides and struggle to look critically at risk from biotechnology. And I'm sure she's doing a really good job where she is, and she's a great, you know, she's all over the science. But the trick is, it's not just science that we need to be understanding. It's how we use science, or how scientific research is undertaken, depends on what's in scope and what's not in scope.
You keep some things out of scope, you don't go there.
That's all about the values and the governance.
Yeah. Jen Schuller, or Schuller, Chief Executive of New Zealand Avocado, I see is the first on her CV list.
Yeah, until 2023, and she's also a chartered accountant. She's had
another
background
one.
As a consultant.
We've already got one of them.
I know, right? Yeah, well, see, this is it. There's not many constitutional lawyers and people with expertise in governance of the public interest, but that's okay. So Consul General and Trade Commissioner for New Zealand Trade and Enterprise in Germany. She was treasurer at Zespri International, and earlier roles were in merchant banking and so on. So she's currently 2IC to Mahe Drysdale on the council at Tauranga City Council.
Oh, okay, interesting. Yep.
Yeah, so she's interesting because she's got this avocado Zespri background. I'm kind of rather hopeful that Zespri and avocado New Zealand have a far more nuanced appreciation that they don't want, you know, chemicals that are banned in Europe in contaminating their export avocados, their export kiwi fruit. I'm thinking that perhaps these organisations, and so Jen is aware that whenever scientific research is undertaken to assess consumer preferences in eating gene-edited foods, so, of course, gene editing is a form of genetic modification. Yep. So gene-edited foods mm-hmm. are GMOs. They're just a newer technique to make the GMO. So I'm thinking that Zespri and New Zealand Avocado are very cognizant that consumer preferences all over the world shift. They know gene editing is on a spectrum of GMOs, and they don't want to eat GE foods. They want to pay more for GE foods. So strategically, she'll understand that we want a really well-controlled environment where we don't have lots of GE releases. There's no risk of contamination of our food crops. So I'm really optimistic that she'll actually have a language of what the stewardship means in the long run for our food export industries. If the majority of consumers, when they're surveyed, actively want to spend more for GMO-free food.
Marianne McLeod.
So she's one of the other three people with a science background. She's got a Master of Science in Earth Science and Geography. She was director of NIWA. She was CE of the Bay of Plenty Regional Council. And she's currently a director of Ag Research. And Ag Research is, unfortunately, the government's defunding of ag research and basic science over the last 20 years means that ag research has, like the other CRIs, pivoted to a lot of biotech development, private-public partnerships to get money coming in. They're looking, you know, they're increasingly dependent on patent income. So her focus really, unfortunately, is, you know, and we haven't seen her speaking up about pesticides in the environment or risks from genetic modification. So I can only suspect that she's going to be on the, you know, let's deregulate, yeah, let's move rah, away rah. From process-based, you know, where we actually recognise that that we have to risk assess if a product has been GMO, it's a genetically modified organism, or it's gene edited, we will risk assess that no matter what it is. And that can then step into different categories of risk assessment, I believe. But they're trying to do away with that and shift all that around and sort of deregulate into our environment. So I'm a bit concerned that her scientific expertise may be more directed to advocating for deregulation into the environment. And remember, New Zealand does not have a ban on GMOs in the environment. We just tightly risk and steward them.
No. And Nancy Tuaini.
Well, she's really interesting because she was one of the negotiators for the Whanganui River Settlement that achieved the Te Awa Tupua Act in 2017. Sorry, I'm an Australian, everybody. Her MBA came from Massey, and she's currently the CE of Ngā Tangata Tiaki o Whanganui. So she's really hopeful, but she doesn't have a science background, so I hope she won't be baffled with science. I hope she'll really stick to process and understanding what stewardship really means. I hope she'll have a chat with, Jonathan Boston about what stewardship means, because, of course, if they're looking after the Whanganui River, fish don't just die from one chemical or another chemical. If there's a mixture of chemicals, if there's synergies, you know, this is when that river becomes harmed. And the Whanganui River, that people in New Zealand and local councils are unable to steward water right now because none of those mixtures, the gross contaminant levels or whatever, are actually considered as drivers of, for example, vertebrate decline. So I'm hoping that she will be able to step back and say, what's my role here? And I think she could be really important.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to have in the mix, isn't it, someone who's not kind of on the inside of the science thing because, like you say, you can sort of step back and more assess, because I think the thing that always freaks me out is this sort of overreach of enthusiasm that can get an energy of itself and people can do things without thinking too clearly. And having someone who's kind of just out of that might be a good person to have from the common sense angle, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really, really surprising that there is no one on the board with a long-term background in monitoring and research,
right,
in environmental chemicals, in toxicity, in pollution, that can talk to this problem. But that's not surprising when you look at the fact that MBIE's science policy and science funding is structured away from that sort of research. And the ASR, if they do any of that sort of research, is really short term. You know, if the research, for example, monitor groundwater chemicals, but they've never turned around and said, okay, these three different chemicals from this same pesticide class aggregating, let's look at the risk of that. So there's no ESR doing that work. They're not feeding that work back into the EPA. It's sort of like the EPA has its blinkers on and it only just looks at other regulations, other jurisdictions to say whether something's risky or not. And unfortunately, it turns to North America more often. And that's why that recent panic over the DCPA, this chemical that's been banned in Europe for nearly 20 years, they're like, oh, we've got to ban it now. And gosh, that's because the US EPA banned it, you know, last month. Yeah. You know, this is how our EPA is absolutely just wanting to mimic North America. And I think the board members, and I'll be writing about this in the Daily Telegraph article, need to really pivot to Europe if we're actually going to have a really good reputation for the future moving forwards.
So what are the challenges for them then now? If they're sitting down as an updated board now with the new appointees, what do you think the major challenges for them are?
Well, one of them, so risk governance involved is always, it's always uncertain, it's always ambiguous, it's always open-ended. So their challenges are how do they negotiate uncertainty and hold that space. So, for example, in the NZEPA and the HASNO Act, they're required to take a precautionary approach to decisions. So that can include, and it should, having information to support staff and even the board when they're looking at how they move forwards. But there's not a single policy document on how to take a precautionary approach. Even the NZEPA's methodology document doesn't even mention it. So no one actually has that expertise at making good decisions and navigating risks. So when it comes to their cost benefit analysis, if we can't step back and say, well, what might happen over the longer term? And one of the big issues here that they really need to think about is the potential that what we're seeing is so many patents globally, because biotechnology is just like roaring ahead, because basically you get a patent on it and then you can get royalties from it. So there's a massive incentive for biotechnology. So there is the risk here that then you get the patent on it and then you release this stuff at scale. You release the organism at scale into the environment. So right now, when you have lab development, that's not an issue. But when you start looking at releasing an organism at scale, say the ryegrass that ag research are developing.
Yep, we've heard about that.
That could be in 500 farms in 2 years, for example, once it's approved. But what could then happen is you could get cross-fertilisation, you could get contamination. What if that ryegrass is found 5 years from now to be not as palatable? or have a problem with the uptake of nutrition. Or, you know, so these are, this is, you know, so I don't want anyone to say Jody said that it's going to become unpalatable. It's, I did not say that.
Well, it's the what if.
Yeah. And what if it's toxic, for example, to, you know, in, you know, indigenous invertebrates, like invertebrates that, that we love and treasure. But there's, none of this is really in their scope because the scale of potential. So gene editing is amazing because a ton of labs can do it, but then you can patent a ton of products and then you can get out. The scale impacts can happen in the lab, but the scalar impacts can happen out in the environment too.
Okay.
And so I think it's really hard stuff, but it's got to be considered.
I'm going to get your just a brief comment on RMA reforms in a moment, but there's chlorpyrifos, which is still being used, and we've heard that it's very damaging. Would you expect them to, like, go, no more of that?
Yeah, so chlorpyrifos, you know, what I would want the board to do is I would want them to go and look at the regulatory decision by the European Food Safety Authority on chlorpyrifos and how it's regulated. So if I turn to glyphosate, for example, in Europe, it's not permitted to be sprayed on crops. It's the uses, the recommend uses for public areas are only down train tracks. It's not on the side of the road or in a park or in a playground.
Yep.
So, you know, when the New Zealand EPA turn around and say, we're mainly like Europe. It's like, no, you're not mainly like Europe because, you know, they really stop, limit the regulations, you know, before seeding out of new crops. So we need to look at what's happening in Europe because I don't expect the EPA to be a even tougher jurisdiction than Europe because they're so little and they don't actually have the research to go and do even better risk assessments. So the best way we can sort of think about things in terms of to make it as protective for the public as possible is to actually say, what are they doing in Europe? And then for the board to turn around and say, actually, let's start getting some feedback out of the New Zealand environment. Let's actually advocate that there is scientific research outside of the EPA. We don't want the EPA who are emailing, you know, Monsanto and Bayer every second doing this research. We actually want someone out of the EPA having the funding, and it has to be long-term funding. So you need that talk back. Otherwise, what happens, the regulatory, and this is really well established in the scientific literature, is that the regulatory institutions, they just become blinkered and they just look at each other and nod at each other and go, yeah, we'll do the same thing. And that's not stewardship or governance.
I think that's called a circle jerk, isn't it, or something like that? I've heard somewhere. Okay, Jody Brunning, lead researcher, physicians and scientists for Global Responsibility. Thanks for coming back on and sharing your thoughts and ideas and views on this new board and kind of what it means. And as I always say, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens.
Let's do that. An absolute pleasure, Paul. Thanks so much.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.